Good evening. The sun is here. Isn't that wonderful? What a blessing that was. So we're going to be looking over the next maybe year, I guess, because these are going to be once a month. We're going to be looking at the fruit, of the Spirit. So I'm going to read to you Galatians 5:16 to 26, and that's where it tells us all about the fruit of the Spirit. And then each month we're going to delve into one of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul names. And today we're going to be looking at love. So here we go. This is Galatians 5:16. To 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And there you go. I started thinking about, you know, we've changed seven slightly and mixed it up a bit and got an emphasis on trying to get to know one another and build deeper relationships with one another and hopefully support one another and emphasize that everyone has something to give. Everyone has something of God on the inside of them that we can all learn from. It's not about just one person up the front or a few people who've got it all together, but we are the body of Christ. We all have something of God on the inside of us, and each of us can learn and has a place in that. And so I guess part of the changes were to encourage us in that. Another thing that has been really on my heart as we've done this change is the idea that it's in John 10:10, Jesus came to give us life in all its abundance. And I kind of felt like, you know, the gospel and knowing Jesus should not be about making sure the afterlife is all okay. But the gospel and knowing Jesus is about the here and the now. It's about living life to the full. It's about doing your job well. It's about doing family well. It's about managing relationships well. It's about life, having life in all its abundance right here, right now, in the middle of this crazy world we live in. We've been given the Spirit of God living in our hearts. And that means that he came to change your Monday morning, to impact your week right here, right now. And so I kind of thought looking at the fruits of the Spirit would be a great thing to do, because the fruits of the Spirit are about right here, right now. They're not about making sure, you know, you're going to get to heaven. That's all covered. But the fruits of the Spirit are about your Monday morning. The fruit of the Spirit are about being at work and working through friendships and relationships. And isn't that exciting that God died and rose again to impact your life right here, right now? We don't have to wait for when we go beyond the veil, but we can encounter fullness of life, heaven on earth, right here, right now. So that's why we're looking at the fruits of the Spirit. And today we're looking at love. I kind of kicked myself when I gave myself this, because it's like the biggest subject in the world. It's like, John, can you come to church and talk about God? Okay. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, love. How long have I got? Crikey. Love, where do you begin? I've got a few definitions, but that might be helpful to kick us off. What is love? I really like this definition. It says this. Love is the accurate estimation and the adequate supply of another's need. Like that. Would you like to hear it again? The accurate estimation and the adequate supply of another's need. It's love. Love, maybe, is everything that is good about life. Friends, family, romance. And, equally, a lack of love is often the source of pain and hatred and everything that's ugly in our world. Love is, the core, right at the core of the human experience. You see it in films, you see it in art, you see it in poetry and music. Love is at the heart of who we are as people. I even found a poem. Would you like to hear a poem? Because I thought that'd be nice to say a poem when I'm talking about love. This is Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Yes, I know who she is. Not. 1806. Does anyone know about that lady? How cultured are we? Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Fiona knows. Well done. Points. She wrote this. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being an ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need. By sun and candlelight, I love thee freely. As men strive for right, I love thee purely. As they turn from praise, I love thee with the passion put to use. In my old griefs and with my childhood's faith, I love thee with a love I seemed to lose. With all my lost saints, I love thee with the breath, smile, tears of all my life. And if God chooses, I shall but love thee better after death. Isn't that cool? Love. It's passionate, it's overflowing. I guess really, maybe the best definition of love is God. 1 John tells us that God is love. And that really only makes sense when God is Trinity, right? If we understand God as Trinity, as three beings, but one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that circle or that dance, as we looked at a year or so ago, you have perfect love. Each individual part is just totally giving themselves to the other. It's selfless. It's other focused. That's love. And when we look at God, when we look at Trinity, and that's why that I really believe that the idea of Trinity is so key, not just so that we can have a nice theological understanding, but for your Monday morning, theology, that idea of Trinity is important, because there you have God. He's not just a angry monarch, singular being in the sky, but he is community. God himself is community. God is love, because he is constantly giving the other love. He's promoting, and he is just upholding the other in that community. There's this beautiful dance of God that I guess if we were trying to understand what love is, maybe that's a good place to start. God is love, and the wonderful thing is that we've been invited into that great dance. We've been invited in to that banquet. We've been invited in to that place of love, that circle of love. The Father loving the Son loving the Spirit loving the Father, all of those loving us. Love. I love that Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit fruit. I think it has some amazing connotations. So fruit is sweet and nutritious, right? You need fruit to be healthy, and we need these, I guess, these things in our lives to be healthy, to be nutritious. Love is healthy. Love is sweet. Love is nutritious. But also fruit grows, right? Fruit grows. And the wonderful thing is it's the fruit of the Spirit. Love grows in us because we have the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We grow in love. And I just wanted to think about that, really. And what does that look like for us? How, as God moves in us, as God dwells in us, how does he grow love in us? The first way I want to suggest that we grow in love is by receiving love. This is, I guess, the foundation of it all. We grow in love as we receive love. In Romans 5, Paul says that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he's given us. God, it's God's delight to saturate you with his love. That's your number one job too, is to be loved by God. It's not to get on the rota at church. Although, if you want to, see me, johncarroll@stmattschurch.org.uk. But that is not your number one job. Your number one job is to be a child of God. What do? To be a child, you simply be. You simply receive the love of your parents. If we want to grow in love, all we need to do is be people willing to receive. Me and Claire watched a terrible film the other day. I'm sure maybe people might like this film, but I didn't like this film. It was called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Has anyone seen that film? The Perks of Being... You love it, I'm so sorry. So does Rob, because it has Emma Watson in it, yes. It's a whole different type of love there. But I didn't get on with it. I mean, it was all right. It was all right. But basically, Emma Watson in it. She gets into this relationship, which isn't great for her. Okay, it's not great for her. She deserves better. And there's this kid who really likes Emma Watson, and he's a much better kid. He's a much better lad. And obviously, he wants to go out with her, but, you know, she's got this in this terrible relationship. And this guy asks the wise man, and this is a good part of the film, a bit of a spoiler alert as well. And he asks, why does she just keep, you know, going after relationships that are no good for her when I'm here? And this wise man says to him, we receive the love we think we deserve. We receive the love that we think we deserve. And God is in the business of crashing through that. I think so often we shy away from the enormity of God's love. We shy away from the love shown on the cross. But God is in the business of reaching through our doubts and I'm not worthy. That's what the Spirit of God does. He's passionate about you. And he's passionate about breaking down the ideas in our head that we're not worthy of his love. And hey, that's a lifelong journey, right? But you've got the Spirit of God in you, and that's what he's doing right now. Because that's what he's about. How do you best receive love? This is a great pub debate. I've had this discussion. The love languages. Who knows about the love languages? I love talking about love languages. It's so much fun trying to work out what is your love language. Okay, if you've not heard them, here they are. So, obviously, there are billions of ways that we give and receive love. But this guy, can't remember his name, Chapman, put them into five broad ways. He says, we can receive love. You might be someone who receives love best or gives love best through words of affirmation. If someone comes up to you and says, hey, you know, what you did yesterday, that work you did, that was awesome. Thank you so much. That if someone does that to you and you suddenly feel, wow, I'm alive, I feel brilliant, then that probably means that you receive love through words of affirmation. Physical touch. Someone gives you a hug or a pat on the back for just, again, doing something amazing. Again, that is something that's your love language, physical touch. Maybe that's yours. Receiving gifts. Do you love it? Dawn's eyes are lighting up there. So there we go. We know her love language, give her a gift. or a hug. Praise the Lord. Well, if you just feel so loved, if someone is, you know, gives you a gift, maybe some flowers or a box of chocolates, you were thinking about me and that means the world to you, then maybe gifts. Quality time. If someone sits down with you over a coffee and just gives you all their attention, that's how you feel loved. Maybe quality time is how you best receive or give love. And then finally, there's acts of service. If someone does the washing up for you, or tidies your house, or mows your lawn, then that's an amazing, then that really connects with you. Isn't it amazing that we all receive love in different ways? We're not made the same. And I just think it's fascinating trying to find out, one, how you receive love best, but also perhaps how those around you, how best can we love one another? It might not be the way that we think we can love you. Maybe we need to do a bit of thinking. So I highly recommend looking at love languages. Another twist to this is, how do we receive love from God? Does God speak your love language? I wonder if he does. Maybe you feel loved most by God when you receive a prophetic word. Hey, is that words of affirmation? Maybe you just love feeling the presence of God. Touch the gifts of the Spirit. You love knowing that God's given you gifts. You just, maybe you love getting away and just being alone with God, going for a walk, quality time. Or maybe you love the fact that Jesus died on a cross for you. Wash his disciples' feet, acts of service. You see, we all receive and give love differently. And God speaks your love language. So we grow in love by receiving love. And I just want to give you permission to be on a journey of saying, okay, God, maybe I don't fully understand or feel that I deserve your love. But I just want to know you to know that the Spirit of God is on you and in you to lead you into greater and greater understanding of this incredible love that God has for you. And that is how we grow in love. The second way, I've only got 2 points, so don't worry. The second way I think we grow in this fruit of love is by doing. There's a book that I haven't read, but it's a great title, called Love Does, by a guy called Bob Goff, I think, something like that. You should get it, because he sounds like an amazing guy. But I haven't read it. But some, you know, I was reading a book that a guy who knew him, and he recommended it. So it's on my to-get-to-read list. Well, but I did read a bit of the blurb, and he said that love is sacrificial and present. I thought that was cool. But love does. Love is action. And this is where I really feel like the fruits of the Spirit become practical. You know, hey, we've got to make sure that we're just receiving God's love. That's priority number one. You're a child of God. But also, what about when you get to work on Monday morning and there's the most annoying person there ever? Or, you've just got a friendship that you want to go deeper in. And how do we navigate these things? Well, it's through love, right? And the Bible has so much to say practically about love. Obviously, 1 Corinthians 13 is a good place to start. Love is patient. Whoa. Steady on there. Pretty practical, right? Love is patient. Love is patient. That can be hard, right? But I think maybe, just like if your muscles, you can grow your muscles by, you know, keep apparently. But you keep lifting weights. Just like patience, right? Love. If you keep being patient, maybe you grow in love. It can be a little painful or difficult at times. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the more scary thing about love. Because it means interacting with other people. Right, but in this too we have the Spirit of God, and this too is just as much a work of grace. One thing that I'm finding, which a bit of my journey is really interesting, is that I'm a massive confrontation avoider. Do I have any other people in the room with me? Yes, there's a few. Praise the Lord. Massive confrontation avoider. And what I've been discovering is that actually part of love involves confrontation. Who knew? I mean, who knew? I kind of thought, you know, you do any confrontation. You just got to make sure everything is nice, everything's happy, and that's the way forward. But apparently that is not the case. And I feel like God has just been leading me on this really cool journey. And this is, I guess, the sharp end of love. But this is where we grow, and this is where I think it's practical. This is where it's about your Monday morning. This is about you going into work. It's about your relationships. I think if we are being led by the Spirit, we'll be led into things like confrontation. Oh my goodness, scary. The reason I think maybe I don't like confrontation is because I probably have not always seen confrontation done very well. And so confrontation, as I was growing up, oh, that scares me. I want to get away. Let's make everything nice and lovely. But this is my own quote. I'm quite proud of it. When the motion... Sorry, let's get it right. Big head. When... Pride book. Anyway. When the motivation behind confrontation is love, then it leads to deeper intimacy and friendship. You see, you can confront in love. And when you confront in love, amazingly, you end up feeling closer to the person that you confront with. Isn't that amazing? Obviously, perhaps I've seen confrontation done not so well, and that leads to broken relationships. But love is passionate about connection. I think that's what love perhaps is. It's connection. It's feeling connected to your friends, to your spouse, to your workmates. And if love is passionate about connection, then it will not stop if something's in the way. It will sort it out. Because it's about, hey, I want to be connected to you. I want to be your friend. I want to know. I want to be in your life. I don't want to stand away from you. I don't want you to say, how was your week this morning? How was your week? And then go on by and not know you. I want to know you. Love is about being connected. And so that means there might be stuff that comes up in your friendships or relationships that gets in the way. But love, that love of God on the inside of us, will cause us to be people who confront in positive ways. Hey, this is how you made me feel. Let's talk about that, because I want that out of the way and I want to connect with you. And love leads us into deeper and deeper relationship. We can see that so clearly with God, right? When something was in the way between us and him, I think the greatest confrontation of all is the cross. He wouldn't stop at making sure that he was connected with you. And as we learn to be people who love one another, who grow in deeper friendship, then maybe that looks like learning to confront with patience, with kindness, not self-seeking or easily angered. But that's where life is. Jesus came to give us abundant life. And as we allow the Spirit of God to work in us by receiving his love and working out that love, we're going to end up in healthy, whole relationships that are deep, I wrote down here, love is not mediocre or nice. Love does not settle for shallow relationships. Love is being passionate about connection. Amen.